سیک ما فایل ای او مام سیرک چی پدرین حالت نیم فلم کین نشد آل مومنت فلم کین ما داون نیستال جن یا بیکن فر پر اینا کل هتم ملی اه دیا بیش فل آثار نایدو
فل آثار فل آثار فل آثار فل آثار
Nilqawkom maħna għal-episodju ieħor ta' fil-qosor miegħi Jake Smith u ma'
Andre Farrugia.
U llum ħa nitkellmu fuq suġġett forsi naqsa kontroversjali naħseb jien.
Kontroversjali? Aħna? Possibbli.
Aħna ma konux kontroversjali.
Allura x'inhu huwa t-topic Jake?
Il-masculinity.
That's controversial?
Well, ifhem, illum il-ġurnata naħseb kollox naqa' fih tiegħu.
Why is masculinity controversial għandi jien humble opinion? What do you define as
in problema?
No, but like let's trace back. Why do people find the idea of masculinity as a controversial thing? What would you define as something traditionally masculine?
That's a very tough question. Emma isu ina sebħa kan ħafna movimenti, speċjalment f'Hollywood tidher ħafna li hemm isu pushback għax jenna forsi jem irġil f-postijiet ta' poter. Għat nispekula ta' ġifiri, pero naħseb li jisu jem jisun għazajra pushback in ġenerali anke tgħid masculinity u tuk forsi ħarsa naqas trambalek xi ġifiri masculinity. Ma nafx.
Pushback in what sense? What do you mean pushback?
Jena naħseb, so dell-opinjoni tiegħi jista' jkun ma taqbilx miegħi ta' ġifiri, pero wara l-moviment feminista, speċjalment l-axħar jennaf 6-7 snin il-moviment feminista naħseb ħa naqazajra post takes estremi fej jidħol masculinity.
Ok.
Min li għalek qed nirreferi, jien jiġifieri kien naqa' pushback mill-moviment feminista li ma naħsibx li huwa popolari man-nisa fil-verità. Jiena.
Imma so I think you're mentioning neo-feminism.
Third-wave feminism.
Third-wave feminism, I think that's the actual term for it. For example, what do you think is the main arguments against third-wave feminism in your sense? Like the pushback that you're mentioning.
Li naħseb li mhux qed jieħdu każ, mhux qed jieħdu każ biżejjed. Tal-importanza tal-maskulinità fil-verità fid-dinja. Jindiki naħseb il-problema. Hemm problemi ma' ħafna irġielu ma' maskulinità hemm problemi da żgur. Però naħseb li ma ġietx apprezzata biżejjed. U kien hemm pushback li ċertu minnu kellu mertu, li mbagħad ħa naħseb take illi ma kienx fl-opinjoni tiegħi warranted biex niftehmu.
So as in like you said, extreme ideas in the kifet diet, like very disappreciative of masculinity in the sense elaborate was basically what I'm trying to ask.
Per esempio di esempio quasi jistaxħat jidlu banali, imma l-idea li l-missier f'kasta familja ma jibkix qoddim it-tifel tiegħu u qoddim it-tfal tiegħu xi ħaġek. Jiġu feministi u jgħidulek din hija riżultat tal-patriarki u li peress li r-riġiel huma inkoraġġati jibbottiljaw l-emotions tagħhom u whatever. U naħseb illi dik hija just vera surface level view tagħha. Naħseb hija ħafna iktar komplikata minn hekk fil-verità. Mhux qed ngħid li hija tajbi ħażin, qed ngħid illi dak l-assessment huwa bla bażi sa ċertu punt, ġifieri.
I mean, I understand the point you're trying to make, but to me, I don't think it's strictly not a feminist problem. I'm assuming you're familiar with the term toxic masculinity.
Yes.
Do you think that's also part of the problem, why that reinforces this idea that men should be emotionally distant, stoic, strong?
Well, qabel ma nitkellmu fuq toxic masculinity, x'tien saqsi lilek, smajt bit-term jien, però how do you define toxic masculinity?
How would
yes,
I define
it? Xina onestament, betta insaqsi nisu nitkellmu fuq is-suġġett, isu definition tagħha mhix ċara qudiem kulħadd. U ma tistax titkellem fuq suġġett jekk m'għandekx definition tagħha.
I mean to me I have a very clear idea of what toxic masculinity is. it might be that the concept differs from person to person how they would define it. But to me, toxic masculinity is the over the over masculine traits and enforcement of masculine roles. For example, if there was a dude that was overly emotional, me as a toxic male, for example, let's say, would tell him to shut up and to man up, for example. Mm-hmm. That is my idea of toxic masculinity, is that they are the overly masculine traits that hurt other men and women in general.
Mela ħan nżal eżempju għalhekk kif ġibt. Jekk jiena li niġi f'tal-każ toxic male, nara raġel ieħor li qed jibki u ngħidlu għalaqħal hekk ejja man up, whatever. Jiena naħseb illi għalkemm għandek raġun, f'każ normali eżempju xi ħadd qed jibki, it's the crappy thing to do biex niftehmu. Però hemm ħin u post naħseb jien, jekk qiegħed ġo gwerra, eżempju, u għandek bżonn is-suldati tiegħek qed f'battalion, u għandek is-suldati tjibku, frankament, inti tagħmel li tista biex tqajjimhom minn hemm biex jgħinuk fil-task li għandek.
But you bring the example of let's say the soldier who's being emotional because of war. There's a way to deal with things, differently. The billi tinsultaħ das-suldat li vera jiderli, and plus there are mental psyche tests before you become a soldier or mm-hmm. something like this. So I don't know. Probably there isn't. But they test your mental strength for these sort of things. I believe that I don't believe in negative reinforcement of certain things. I believe that if you want to do something positive, then you should positively reinforce that person. You shouldn't insult him or threaten his own masculinity. Because I think masculinity is a diverse spectrum. The same way I think femininity is. I don't think there is such a thing that a masculine traits need to be attributed with males and feminine traits need
to be attributed. Yes, of course, you can have a feminine man and a masculine woman.
Okay, but for example, if there was a feminine man in say a war setting, how would you as hypothetically, you are a general, how would you react to that? Hypothetically speaking,
I have to be very careful what I say here.
You have to be very careful.
This is treading the line. Pero, if you take the masculine traits and exaggerate them, you'd have someone who isn't in touch with his emotions or, you know, whatever the negative connotation to that is. And if you have feminine traits and exaggerate those, what are they? Then, if you can identify those and see that they're not applicable, but counterproductive in a war setting, that's what a general would have to look at if you're asking me as a general. So if you're telling me that there's a soldier that's overly feminine, and as a result of that, he's much more emotional, then there is a case being made for maybe the person being there isn't that logical, especially in a war setting. That's a war setting.
But your definition implies that being emotional is only a feminine trait.
No. I'm saying just the same way that take a masculine trait like being unemotional and exaggerate it to a point where, as you said, the soldier that sees the other soldier crying and tells him to shut up, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's a take it on the other hand. What is the negative connotation of one of the feminine traits? Being overly emotional. I mean, it is a negative connotation.
But you can do but you can say the exact same thing about being overly stoic, for example.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying, in fact.
But the thing is, I think
the point is, in a general, he wouldn't look for someone who's overly emotional. He would look for someone who's overly stoic, if anything.
But
if
again,
he had to choose, that is.
If you did, Kiekum, let's say again, do you think that feminine traits, in the sense, let's say with the example, do you think they have no place in war, for example?
Oh, like, no, there definitely is a place in war. Of course there is.
But for feminine traits, I'm saying.
Yes, completely.
But you're saying, but that's, I'm not gonna call you a hypocrite. I'm not gonna call you that.
Mm-hmm.
But if what you just said, that it is not ideal for a general to have a feminine soldier, instead of shutting him up, wouldn't it be a smarter thing to do to place him somewhere else?
Yes, completely. That, yes, that's exactly what I think.
So where would you place him?
Put it this way, feminine characters tend to be way more caring, in fact. I don't think most people can disagree with that, because that's inherently true in my opinion. Feminine people are more caring than masculine people. Therefore, in a situation where you need people to be taken care of, which in war you do,
mm-hmm.
that's where they would go. I mean, this is all hypothetical, of course, we're speculating. Generals in war, they evaluate everything. In the a soldier isn't just a soldier because he's physically capable, he's a soldier because his personality warrants something.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And personality places you in the type of position that you should be in.
Okay, so what if there were psychological evaluations, but like I always said, to see what type of person could you categorize in again, like you said, you because this exam, this hypothetical about the soldier and war is. Again, we're just two idiots talking and discussing.
Of course, yeah.
Just spreading our thoughts on a microphone. And would you categorize, can you even categorize that sort of thing? Would you know beforehand, before anyone is placed or not placed? In the sense, like I always said before, like how you could psycho-evaluate someone else, a person before they went to war, for example.
Yeah, there's multiple personality tests that one can take that are recommended by psychologist Jafiri, so that you could evaluate what are the person's strengths and weaknesses and what position they would be best in. Jena nimmaġina, ma nafx, pero nimmaġina, illi soldati fil-gwerra ġenerali, whatever, they do these things just so they know where best placed these soldiers should be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the military is supposed to be one of the most, not only serious, but one of the most competent organizations, because if they're not competent, people die.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The risks of being a soldier, or the implications, huh? They have to be very careful, and they have to put people where they should be. And when they deserve, where they deserve. And the mushata, but as in Pew, في الجوارة من ديش هتدخل كواتا.
Okay, interesting.
You have to have it meritocratic بيش نفتهم.
A meritocracy, okay.
Yes, meritocracy, yes.
Which is understandable. I agree with that point. It's very, you either in or you're out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But again, what if I'm going to propose another not a paradox, I would say, another point. What if there was overtly a feminine soldier,
mm-hmm.
that wanted to fight, or even they told him no, you can't do this, but he wants to fight badly, for example.
I mean, if he can qualify and the superiors tell him, okay, we have reviewed your training, whatever, and deemed it best that you are in this position or in this place or whatever, doing this and this and that. There's no reason why anyone should stop that person.
Okay.
Being feminine isn't a disqualifier, by no means. All I'm saying is in certain situations, certain traits are preferable.
Okay, so let's divert a bit from the war hypothetical, because I think we're getting a bit out of point right now. As we were saying, like we had this written down, and we were like, listen.
We just drift.
Exactly, we just drifted a bit, but... Again, like how we said that there's a. Do you agree that male, masculine, and feminine traits complement each other?
Yes, 100%.
Equality or equity?
Equality.
Equality. Okay, interesting.
I mean, we just said male and female traits not only complement each other. I mean, a male and female companionship is one of the greatest things you could see, because it's. Not the only, obviously, but it's the most fruitful. Because from that you can birth new life. it's they complement each other perfectly, in my opinion.
So why do you think that in the last maybe 10 years there is such a big, do you agree with the idea of importance to self before everyone else? Because this kind of goes against the companionship idea of male and female, for example, or masculine or feminine. Like a trend that I've seen in the last 5 years, maybe, I would say, is that there's a big more a emphasis on yourself before anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Case in point, Hollywood, for example. You know what?
Are you talking about the self-improvement movement?
Well, in a way, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of feeds into that idea. But what do you think of that?
Well, FM, you just mentioned Hollywood, which is a big American industry, and American, everything American has always been renowned about individualism over collectivism. So about the self.
Mm-hmm.
So about me being able to, you know, the phrase, pick myself up by my bootstraps and do the best I can in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So when you mentioned Hollywood, I'm not surprised. That's completely true. So the self-improvement movement is, in my opinion, I mean, maybe it's a bit too generous, but it's like men looking out for other men in most cases. Not all cases. But the way I see it is that some men, well, a lot of men know what it's like to be desperate. And when these people suddenly rise and do make something of their life, they want to be like, hey, Isma, you're a dude as I am a dude, and I've been through the same things you've been through. Let's help each other out.
Desperate in what sense?
Desperate,
like as well.
Men nowadays, I mean, men are lonely. That's one thing.
I mean, that may be true. I don't know any statistics. As in,
I'm not necessarily okay. I might be speaking anecdotally, but I think it is pretty well accepted that there is an, I mean, calling it an epidemic is a bit scientific, but there is a male loneliness epidemic, so to speak. I mean, I've seen plenty of, like, YouTubers speak about it, left and right, women and men. It's like, it's accepted to some degree. It's people look at different causes and whatnot. I think it exists when people say men are desperate. I mean, just look at the suicide rate. It's
I mean, yes, that's true, but I don't think that's only... That's only because...
Oh, no. Of course it is.
There are many factors that play into... Like, it's... I saw a statistic quite recently that said that there's... For every female... It's a trigger warning to anyone who's listening, but for every woman that unalive themselves, there's every 4 men that unalive themselves. What do you think is the cause of that?
I'm obviously no psychologist, no psychotherapist. I have no statistics, except the only thing that I know for sure is that the biggest killer of men under 40 is suicide.
Mm-hmm.
So, why? I feel like men have lost purpose. I don't think it's the same as, for example, just saying men are lonely and therefore men are killing themselves. That's a very, very general, very surface level view. It might be a cause, but I don't think it's the cause. The reason I think it's about purpose, it's because I believe that with how progressivism specifically has, like, shifted towards a world where, you know, the masculine roles and the feminine roles are, like, reversed or told, hey, Isma, just because you're a man, it doesn't mean you have to be a masculine man. And just because you're a woman doesn't mean you have to be a feminine woman. And I think, well, if you're going to some degree against nature itself, I believe that there's a reason behind why someone would be like, I have no purpose. If they're, as a man, told, Isma, don't act manly, in quotations.
Again, it goes back to the problem, like for example, the sense of purpose, for example, mm-hmm. that I don't think it's strictly just a male thing. I think
oh no,
I think
of course
everyone on this earth, wants to find a sense of purpose with, whether if it's in, with,
but I think purpose,
each other.
Purpose was always a more important thing for men in terms of, because men were raised usually to raise a family, protect, provide for the family, right? That's the most evolutionary.
Wouldn't you say that that's the same thing for women as well? That's where women are raised to also start a family, as in traditionally speaking?
Yes, but women are more tended to protect the family, to care for the family, rather than the man who is more meant to provide for the family and protect them physically.
So I think, but I think, again, like how you said, does that strictly need to be a male thing? The protect side of it, or the like men can't be the housewives, for example, the house husband.
It's not that they can't, and it's not that that women can't protect. But you think about it logically. If you're a family sitting around at dinner, and an intruder comes in, who should be, at least should be, the first one to stand up against the intruder?
I think the first one should stand up when the intruder should be the first person closer to the knife, in my opinion. I don't think it should be a gender or, well, sex-specific thing.
Yeah, but you think about it logically, who's going to be the strongest person in that room?
I mean, that may be true, but...
That's why I'm saying it's traditional. I mean, that's why we are made as we are.
But are we excluding... So you think
the woman could know karate way better than the man, and whatever, and self-defense way better than the man, which is fair enough. I'm not disputing any of that. I'm just saying there is a reason why we are made as we made, as we're made, because there is evolution to these types of things. There's tradition. Is it correct? I don't know. I'm not the one to ask. I'm just making the observation here that there are things that are created in a way for a reason.
So a physically strong woman, to you, in your opinion, goes against the status quo?
It goes against the most common, yes.
The most common, that is well, okay. So, again, let's backtrack to
nothing
your point.
Nothing wrong with it, though, obviously.
No, of course not, of course not. There's nothing wrong with it. I agree with you, I agree with you on the last sense. Like we can agree to disagree on certain topics. It's the whole point of the show, is that I'm on this side and Jake's on that side constantly. But again, to backtrack on your point, like... Again, sense of purpose, and this goes in as well with the toxic masculinity, like what we mentioned before. Do you think that men who profit out of other men's insecurity is a form of toxic masculinity?
So, essentially talking about exploitation.
Exploitation.
So, is exploitation a toxically masculine trait?
I'm not saying it's inherently masculine, but is it a toxic masculine thing?
I think it's a toxic thing. I don't understand why it would be a masculine thing.
Because, again, well, in the sense, because we...
It's definitely something a toxic male would do. It doesn't mean that because a toxic male does it, that exploitation of someone else's insecurities is a toxically male action, because a toxic female could do that.
Well, then how would you describe toxic masculinity?
Well, this is the thing. I don't know what it actually means. This is why I ask you for a definition instantly. This is my point about toxic masculinity in general. My opinion is that I don't think it's been defined well enough. Because if you don't have a set definition for a topic, and you're talking about said topic, if no one has the same definition, you don't know what the hell you're talking about, frankly.
But what if, for example...
Is it saying that there are male traits that are toxic? Or is it saying that there are traits that can be toxic when extreme? Because I think in most cases, traits aren't extreme. I think there is like a spectrum of the trait, and it goes from a extreme way to a very doesn't exist way.
I don't think the problem is the trait itself. I think it's the way that those traits are regurgitated and enforced that's toxic. Like, let's say, for example, I'm a very anti Andrew Tate person, for example. Mm-hmm. For anyone who doesn't know who Andrew Tate is, he is this.
No, I don't think anyone doesn't know who Andrew Tate is at this point.
Yeah, fair enough. But like, let's say for context, for people who don't know, he is this 30-something man.
36, I believe.
He's 30. I don't really care, to be honest, about his age. He is this American. I think he's American.
He's half and half American, half British. He calls himself American, I believe.
He's this American English entrepreneur. as I would say, who has, in my opinion, exploited desperate and insecure men about their own masculinity by reinforcing toxic masculine traits. One of toxic masculine traits with toxic masculinity. And in turn, has created this in sort of misogynistic mindset between men that there is a clear enemy and it's not other men, it's women. And I think that has done so much harm, not to just men, but to women and to everyone who's ever even heard the name Tate, in my personal opinion.
I mean, what is the toxic masculinity that he helps regurgitate? Give me an example.
Again, the toxic masculine trait that I would say that Andrew Tate promotes is like, for example, the idea that there's only one clear-cut male. If you diverge from the status quo, then you are wrong. Then you are a horrible person to society. For example, like if you're not strong, if you don't go to the gym, if you don't believe in the same ideas that he does, then you're inherently wrong, and there's inherently something wrong with you, and you can't fix that. You can only you can fix that, but you need to buy into his programs, which is the problem with it, because the programs that he sells, for example, recently there was a scam called Hustlers University, which was it was a pyramid scheme. It was a very clear pyramid scheme from the very beginning. It was essentially courses, well, lessons, that so-called lessons, that taught people for the low price, but it was like €50 a month.
Yes, euros or something like that.
$50 a month, which is ludicrously expensive for basic trading info. Mm-hmm. And they call that escaping the matrix. I don't know.
I mean, put it this way, they have a great marketing team. which is why people call him a con man, and that's completely correct.
The marketing team is his own fans, because if it's one thing that is very interesting about Andrew Tate is how the term? How business focused minded he is. Mm-hmm. How clever he is in manipulating markets. In the sense, how he has single-handedly created. He has a very interesting story. In the sense, he came from nothing to something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Overnight, he became the most Googled person on earth because he started to share his pyramid scheme, and people promoted him with his clips, which, by the way, is another thing why I think Andrew Tate is a very harmful person. The clips that he is inside promote abuse towards women, which is a big no-no, full stop. There's no argument against it, even if it's a joke or not. People see this and take this seriously, as it happened in front of us.
I mean, I'll try to play the devil's advocate here. If there is, as you say, a joke about violence against women, but it's a joke, right? So logically, if I'm a logical person and I see this joke, I wouldn't go out and attack women after it. But if there's some guy who's a bit cuckoo in his brain, right? He sees that joke, he doesn't take it as a joke, he does it seriously, and then goes and does something horrible. Whose fault is that? Because that's my argument, is that it's a bit, I understand if the rhetoric is violent and extreme, but if in a case where he's making a joke.
We've talked about this before, haven't we? With Katrina a few weeks ago, about punching down versus punching up, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's something very similar to it. If you know that this joke is going to harm someone.
I don't think you can know that, to be honest.
I mean, you.
I think you
to an extent,
you can expect it if you have more viewers.
Well, again,
because I mean,
you can kind of tell.
Think about it. If you have 50 viewers on a puny, I don't know, YouTube show, 50 viewers, you'd say whatever you want to say, because 50 viewers is 50 viewers, like, who's going to do anything?
But it could...
Then you have a million viewers, and then even the 0.5% of people that might do something horrible isn't just two.
But the thing,
you know,
with
what I mean?
Nate is that it's not just the one joke.
Mm-hmm.
It is every joke.
Yeah, yeah, I understand.
It's been said so many times, and the thing is, Tate is one of those people who says so many things that he's bound to hit something that is very obvious. Like, wow, you should treat women with respect. Like, he's the first person to ever say that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And people revere him for that. People say, no, he's actually not misogynist. He said this about women, and he said X about women. How we should care for them. He just has a very traditional mindset, which is not true. Which is true and not true, in the sense where, yes, he does promote the traditional mindset, but again, there is a way and a way. There is a way where you can promote a traditional mindset while also accepting progressive views in your own opinion. You know what I mean? But if you go to a point where it starts harming other people, which we have clearly seen, with it, there is evidence of men even abusing their partners because of Andrew Tate, is a big no-no, in my opinion. It's always been from day one. I've always been very staunchly anti-Tate.
I understand, and it makes sense. This is a question that's not necessarily exactly on the same topic. It's still about Andrew Tate, but what probability do you think that he actually holds all of the views that he says? Because there's a lot of people who say he's just saying that just to get the controversy, because, you know, all publicity is good publicity. Same way one could throw that argument for Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe he doesn't actually hold these views. He's just saying the dumb stuff to get the viewers, because he knows if he gets an extreme fan base, and a very loyal fan base at that, he could make money.
But
it's like, you know, I don't actually think it changes anything for Verita, because he could be meaning it, he could not be meaning it. I'm just asking you what you think, just out of curiosity.
Again, I agree with you. I think, does it really matter? Does it really matter if he actually believes that sort? The damage is done. It's there. It's so whether or not you think he actually believes in those ideas or not, it's completely up. It's not completely up to anyone. The damage is done. It's there. He said those things. They're out there on the internet. It's how he's portrayed. If I'm X and I portray myself as Y, then people are going to see me as Y. They're not going to see me as X. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
So, again, to my point, but I want to also ask you something. Do you think that promoting a traditional masculine mindset is a bad thing?
No.
How so?
Well, my simple reasoning, my very, very easy to say reasoning, is we have survived as a species for I don't know how long, and it was always about the traditional man being masculine and the traditional woman being feminine. And I think that promoting that, there's nothing wrong with it, in my opinion. Now, am I saying that everything in tradition is correct? No, of course not. I don't see what's the problem with traditional gender roles, that basically, because they were known as gender roles for a reason, because that's the way things were. Issa, wrong or not, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. If people want to live a different way, I'm not really do.
Again, like,
you do you.
I don't think there's a problem with traditional gender roles. I think it's again the way how those gender roles are enforced. You know what I mean? Like the male gender role. Like the strong male, like I was said before, mm-hmm. is only for men and men only, and you can't be a woman and be strong and be the main breadwinner of the family.
I think that is not taken received well, is because, like, we've seen in Hollywood, and this is the thing, like, about the strong female character, that they're always written essentially, you know, you just take a woman, you just take a man, a male character, make them a woman and keep exactly the same traits. And then people tend to not really like that character. And the reason for that is, I believe, because essentially what you've done is you've said, Mela, we've spent I don't know how many years saying that men are men and women are women, and the traits are masculine and feminine. Then what Hollywood has done is just take a male character, make him a woman, right? Keep the same exact traits, and then pretend that it's gonna be all well received. And people were like, hey, this doesn't make sense. Issa, can you have strong female characters? Yes, when they're written great. That's the issue. I think
I was gonna come to that point.
There's the expression of the pendulum swinging back. I think what has happened is, in the name of progress, the pendulum swung. But I believe that it swung a bit too far, and now it's going right back, where this is the reason why people like Andrew Tate are famous.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because a lot of men specifically felt like, hey, Isma, we're getting attacked on all sides. Maybe it's not that exaggerated, but let's say a lot of men were like, man, so cool hot in society is saying hey, masculinity is a bit bad, toxic masculinity, whatnot. Huh? Here comes Andrew Tate talking about being a man, right? Correct or not, to their belief. And then you wonder why people like him are famous, and I'm like, I'm not surprised at all.
I think, I kind of agree with you, and I don't think that is the reason why strong female characters are disliked. I think, I mean this term very lightly, the strong female character in the sense when they're written poorly,
mm-hmm.
like how you said. But I think, like, I see a lot of movies. I'm a very massive film buff,
mm-hmm.
and I don't like characters, whether they're male or female, to have everything at the start of their story. That usually comes in the third act climax when there's no arc with modern protagonists, whether the male or female. There's no arc. There's only a straight line.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And the straight line is that normally the way that the strong female character is written is that in the very beginning they have everything done out for them because they're women. Mm-hmm. Case in point, Captain Marvel, for example. I don't like Captain Marvel as a film, for example. And or it, no, I think all of the characters in that movie are horrible.
I mean, not only that, Captain Marvel wasn't helped by the actress herself, Brie Larson, because before the movie she was saying, I wish that not that many white men would see this movie. And I'm like, what does that have to do with anything? You know, it doesn't make sense. And then that's exactly my point when I say, and then you wonder why people like Andrew Tate are famous. Because in my mind, if you push someone backwards, and you push someone to the brink of thinking, man, I'm worthless now. And then comes a person who says, you're worth something, right? No matter how extreme or how effed up that person could be,
mm-hmm.
the one you just pushed back, he's going to revere him. That's just like law of human nature. If you have nothing in your life, so no friends, no mentors, nothing, and then that one person picks you up,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be grateful to them. You're going to be loyal to them. And that's exactly why I believe his fans are loyal, specific to Andrew Tate. It's because that's how I feel most men have felt. And in fact, although I would say there definitely are idiots, I think a lot of the Tate fan base is emotional in their reason why they love Andrew Tate. Because I don't think they're being very logical about the situation.
How feminine of them.
Perhaps I can say that, and it would be very ironic. It would be very ironic. But I don't think they're not to blame. All I'm saying is I understand why they're there. I think they just need a bit more clarity and more, you know, thinking through things.
It's, let's skip all the negative talk about all the negative influence and all the bad things that's happening around the earth. Let's talk about the positive. Do you think that traditional masculinity can be promoted in a positive way?
Yes, for sure. The first thing I said, just protecting and providing for your family. I don't see the problem with that.
Do you have any examples of people who promote a traditional masculine sense that is, in your opinion, positive?
Jordan Peterson.
How so?
Well,
because I have mine as well, and I want to share it up.
Jordan Peterson, which is a very controversial figure to some people,
ooh.
Which I believe, to be honest, if he's controversial, I don't think you have read enough about him, to be honest.
I have very staunch opinions on Jordan Peterson, and you know.
I'm happy to argue.
We've had this conversation before.
I've followed Jordan Peterson for about 2023, for about six to seven years. I've known about him. I have his second book, 12 More Rules for Life, Issa. I'm not a Jordan Peterson expert. However, I'm pretty sure I've seen much, much more than the average person who just, you know, doesn't know anything about Jordan Peterson. Issa, you ask me how does he promote traditional masculinity? Well, I believe part of being masculine is, and traditionally masculine, is to make something of yourself, to be able to be competent enough to protect and provide for your family. I think that's one of the most, I don't know, that is the traditional masculine men.
So, people who are feminine can't self-improve themselves?
I don't know how you get that from what I just said.
I'm just saying.
But I don't, of course that feminine men can improve themselves. Improvement then, isn't limited to masculine people.
But then, by extension of your logic, they're no longer feminine, they're masculine.
No, I'm not saying improvement is masculine. I'm saying, alright, okay, maybe I didn't phrase that correctly, but one of the masculine, like, traditions, one of the masculine goals, mm-hmm. traditionally, was always to be able to protect and provide for your family. Mm-hmm. Issa, what I said was, you have to become strong and competent enough to be able to do that, mm-hmm. which is something that Jordan Peterson promotes. Mm-hmm. It's the make your bed, you know, it's that famous, you know, quote that people take out of context.
But my problems with Jordan Peterson don't stem from gender problems. They mainly stem from political opinions, in my mm-hmm. opinion. I think the way Jordan Peterson, would you agree Jordan Peterson parades himself as a centrist? As in, he doesn't align with any. He doesn't align with the left, nor does he align with the right.
When he is often asked, like, you align yourself with conservatives, and he says, "Well, I'm not a conservative." Like, and he says he doesn't have the temperament for it. Pero, it is clear that a lot of his opinions are in line with conservative opinions.
So he's a conservative.
But I don't know. You'd have to ask him for him to tell you he's a conservative. But I think a lot of his views, yes, are mainly conservative. And I don't think that's anything wrong. I mean, it's just different views.
I don't think that is inherently bad. But when you say X and you believe in Y, you come out
in,
as...
In what example?
Like, for example, like how you said yourself, Jordan Peterson does not tell him, does not say that he aligns with any political party. Or almost political party, any political side. Yet he does have a clear preference. For example, most times you see him on television or on podcasts, are very right-winged podcasts or centrist podcasts. For example,
I mean, I'm gonna put it this way:
you never see him in being interviewed or interviewed by someone from the left.
He's been interviewed by leftists many.
You could say, but those interviews are not devolve into interviews, they devolve into debates.
Yes.
Which is a key factor. Because again, if I parade myself as Y, but I'm actually X, if I align myself with these political views and I am going, then I am dishonest. Which I think is a very big problem.
No,
I think Peter is a very dishonest person.
That's the wrong perspective, to be honest, because I can have, out of 10 situations, I can have 9 positions of those that are aligned with conservatives, and 1 position which aligns with progressives or whatever.
But then you're not a centrist.
I don't believe that because I have the majority of my views on the right-wing side of politics, necessarily makes you a conservative. And give me a second to explain this, because when you say you're a conservative, you're saying that I am part of this ideology. So essentially, and this is part of the reason why I think we have a problem in politics, which is a two-party system problem, right? Mm-hmm. Is that if you're on the conservative side, you have to agree with the conservatives on basically most issues, right?
That what makes you a conservative, yes?
Yes, but I believe that's the wrong way to think about it. It doesn't mean that if I agree a lot with conservatives, like 90% of the time, I have to agree with them all the time. And this is the thing. Jordan Peterson's progressive views they're not promoted. Now, mainly is because...
Like what progressive views that Jordan Peterson would have that mainly aligns with the left, for example?
For example, he's been on Joe Rogan podcast.
But Joe Rogan isn't a leftist podcast.
No. I'm going to give an example he said on the Joe Rogan podcast.
Okay.
Where he has said exclusively that there is a case to make, for example, for universal basic income, if you know what that is. That's a progressive policy. When people say that Jordan Peterson is a conservative, a lot of his conclusions, yes, they definitely are conservative.
So he's a conservative.
But, Emma,
it all comes back.
I don't like the labeling of someone just because a lot of their views are similar to this group of people, then I am part of this group of people.
It's not that it's similar, it's that the majority of his views align with that. And it's like for everyone leftist opinion he has nine conservative ones.
So what's the issue with that?
Because the issue is, isn't the conservative opinions, the issue is that you parade yourself as this centrist figure that favors both sides, when you clearly favor one side of the coin.
Fair enough. Imma, again, inti, jiena ma nħuċ approach għal-politika fuq l-issues nejt, jiena konservativ, so fuq l-issue ħana laxin l-conservative view, ħamur fuq conservative view. Le, inti tiħu l-issues issue by issue basis, case by case basis. Un-batta għara fejn tiġi fuq l-political spectrum wara li t-deċidi l-konklużjoni tijak fuq issue. I mean, eżempju Jordan Peterson, għamel lecture sħiħa fuq kif hemm każijiet fejn l-abort huwa permissibli fil-opinjoni tiegħu. Issa, mind you, Jordan Peterson huwa religious. U niftakar.
Setting very thin ice here, Jake, just setting you know.
Just set me reprezenta xejt jgħid Jordan Peterson. Fej darba kien hemm lecture li kien qed jagħti fej l-ewwel ħaġa li qal hija abortion is clearly morally wrong. But it's not that simple. I'm quoting or paraphrasing right there.
Mm-hmm.
Where he goes on a complete journey about how and why, because the female experience is more threatening to females than it is to men in life, and why abortion is one of the, how do you say, the strides forward, one could say, that helps women advance. Mm-hmm. He talks about how women in the workplace has helped women advance. He talks about how these things were all good things.
Mm-hmm.
So, you see, the problem I hate with just labeling someone a conservative is because today, and I don't think, again, people can disagree with this, just saying someone is conservative, it gives them negative connotations.
I think that's the case.
I definitely think that's the case.
I think it is mainly with the people that you surround with. If you surround yourself with people with a mainly leftist mindset, then obviously a conservative is going to look foreign to them. But if you flip the coin, if you were a conservative around a bunch of people who are conservative, with a leftist mindset, then you're going to look foreign to them. It's again, my point still stands. Jordan Peterson is a conservative. I don't think that. I think he should own up and say that yes, I am a conservative, because I think it would do him much more good than harm. Because I think that if you're dishonest with yourself for the sake, I don't know why. He says that he's a centrist.
I don't think he said he's a centrist. I think when he's asked if he's conservative, he's like, I don't think I'm a conservative. Issa.
But not thinking that you are and then saying
but,
that.
No, but I think you're simplifying what he has said in the past.
I kind of have to. There's only like the
I mean, fair enough. Emma, from, again, and again, I've watched a lot of Jordan Peterson. I believe his reasoning was always the not wanting to label himself as such, because there is an issue with labeling someone as being a liberal or conservative or whatever. Mm. There is always that problem where if you label someone, then all the negative connotations or the positive connotations of someone of whoever is labeled that is the same thing, they're going to fall on him. And I don't think you can call Jordan Peterson a traditional conservative, because there are definitely views that aren't traditionally conservative. Well, people think that, and they've seen a lot of his lectures where he talks about communism and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
and in his tirades against it, he often says that a lot of the social programs that are of socialist/communist philosophy
mm-hmm.
have merit, because he often says that with these movements, you often have a bit of truth in every single issue. And people who are traditionally conservative, they don't even give them that.
Yes, but the problem is that Jordan Peterson is very outspoken against communism.
Yes.
To quote him, he said people should visit Albania and see how communism fared for them. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And
being against communism doesn't make you automatically conservative.
No. That's what I'm saying. But I'm saying, like how you're saying, like, he says that there is merit to what mm-hmm. they're saying, but he still disagrees with them.
Yes.
It's the underlier is still there. You still disagree with the point. You can say as many good things about a certain ideology or a certain idea or a certain practice. If you put good words in it, but your final sentence is going to be "I disagree with it," is going to be that. That's going to be the point that people are going to hear, that you disagree with it, and that's where the labels come in. Unfortunately, with the case with politics, there's no real middle ground.
And this is exactly my point. You can't be middle ground nowadays. If you have five positions and four of them are on the right, you're gonna be called a right winger.
But
nowadays, Joe Rogan. We mentioned Joe Rogan. Mm. You can't. No one in the world can tell me he's a right wing conservative. You cannot make that case. Mm. I mean, this is a guy who in 2016 wouldn't vote for Bernie Sanders. If you know anything about American politics, Bernie Sanders is essentially the most progressive of the progressives. Now, if you want to call someone like Joe Rogan conservative because simply he associates with right-wing people, sometimes, by the way, because he doesn't just associate with right-wing people, but this is the problem. The labels don't actually help anyone in this case. This is what I believe.
I don't think Joe Rogan is labeled as a conservative.
Oh, he's definitely labeled as a conservative. Sure.
At least to me, I've never really... I'm not a huge follower of Joe Rogan, which is I know, shame. But the podcasters,
for the listeners, I'm giving him a death stare.
They can see your death stare right now on a 4K vision. They can see my face of sheer terror. No, but like, I don't think. Like, again, I think if you ask, but if you ask Joe Rogan if he was on the left or on the right, he would say he's on the left.
The thing is,
Bernie Sanders.
What I believe he would say from what I've watched of him is, I don't think it's that simple, because I don't think that he thinks it's that simple. I might be completely wrong, Tajafiri. You might ask him and he'd be like, oh, I'm left wing, Emma. This is a guy who's nuanced. Which means that he takes an issue on case-by-case basis and makes his position at the end of reviewing whatever the evidence or whatever the things are to make a conclusion. Mm-hmm. And this is the same thing that Jordan Peterson does.
Mm-hmm.
So, Joe Rogan, by the way, agrees a lot with Jordan Peterson. Does that make him a conservative?
That's a very interesting point.
See, that's exactly my point with the label.
But again... What points does Joe Rogan agree with Jordan Peterson, for example?
Well, for example, one of the points that Jordan Peterson made, and this is very viral on TikTok or Instagram, is the you should be a monster and you should learn how to control it. That it's encapsulated in the expression, it's better to be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the philosophies that's central to Jordan Peterson's philosophy. And it's one of the reasons why a lot of men like Jordan Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
So Joe Rogan agrees with that because you hear it not just in the podcast he does with Jordan Peterson, but after he mentions it a lot and whatever. And he's very often assimilated with Jordan Peterson's views.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that because I agree with someone who's labeled a conservative makes me a conservative.
But as a person that like you said yourself, Joe Rogan, from the little I know of him, that Joe Rogan said that he would vote for Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that I think it outweighs like agreeing with someone and saying that you're going to vote for the most progressive member of
I mean, that was in 2016. You know what he said he would vote for in 2020?
I wouldn't know.
He said he would have voted for Trump,
which is a very weird, to be honest. I wouldn't know.
This is exactly
the point. Because there might be, it might be Joe Rogan is a centrist. Might be Joe Rogan one of the few people that very centrist.
But that's exactly my point. It's too simple to just say, I'm a centrist, I'm a conservative, I'm a liberal. It's not like that. It's not a zero-sum game. It's not, I agree with one issue on the left and one issue on the right, therefore I'm in the center. No, that's this is why the political spectrum, you know, the test you take on the internet, I don't like it, because you're asked a bunch of questions and then it places you on average where you should be. The issue is with that is it's made up, it's fabricated.
To be fair, some of the questions
I'm pretty sure
they're very bait.
A lot of people would call me a conservative, and I'm like the furthest thing from a conservative, because in actuality, most of the views that matter, I don't hold conservative like views.
I think if I had to place you on this hypothetically, I think I would place you. Slightly tipping on the right.
See, that's what I would assume people would say. Yeah.
Slightly tipping, not so far. Like we're talking about fascists, you know what I mean? But ever so slight. Like, where would you place me, for example?
Yeah, definitely on the left.
Yeah, it's the whole point of the show.
but again, I don't like that, because I believe that people presented with evidence and thinking logically would arrive to different conclusions on different issues. It doesn't, even if we both agree that we're both on the right,
mm-hmm.
I can have a completely different perspective on one thing as you, even presented with the same evidence. You know what I mean? So that, I think it's lazy to label someone as politically left or politically right. I don't like it. It's not my cup of tea.
Well, that was a very interesting discussion we had.
Yes, indeed.
And I think that we are running out of time for this episode, because we've been going on so long for politics.
Damn Jordan Peterson.
Damn Jordan Peterson, indeed. Mzoma.
Make your bed.
Make your bed and lay in it. You know what I mean? the guy. Mzoma. Anyways, it was very nice talking to you, Jake, as per usual. And we'll see you in the next episode. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
سيك ما تفايلا يوم ما نسيرك تشفدرين خلتني في الممكن نشد على المومنت لمكين ما داول النستالجن يوم بيكين فر بروهينا كل هاتم لا يهدي بيش في الأسر نايدو
في الأزر